Professor Dugan, it's an honor to meet you, and I'm obviously have a degree of familiarity with your works, and I'm interested in this notion of the multiplicity of different logoses, specifically in consideration of the question of this Heidegger's project of the search for another beginning. And I wonder, how is it possible that there can emerge a multiplicity of different logoses in a way that doesn't just reproduce the forgetting of being that Heidegger identifies with the Greek moment, so to speak. And sorry, just quickly to continue, it also seems to me that when you speak of the logos, you're referring to some kind of civilizational being whose subject is collective and not individual, something that's inherently social rather than just an individual, you know, subject. It's curious. The subject of the Greek philosophy seems to be the individual, beginning the trajectory of the Western philosophy. But I wonder if this opens the question of if the ultimate subject of being is a collective subject, is it possible to inquire upon how this being is reproduced, how it reproduces itself in time? Does it have a history or a historical development? And to what extent does this return us or bring us back perhaps into proximity with the same kind of questions Marx or Marxism was concerning itself with the question of the analysis of different modes of production and different forms of social existence? So that's my question.
So effectively you have put many questions.
So you may answer as you
please. So, okay. So first of all, according to Heidegger, the main reality, or rather, primordial reality is Dasein, being T/here, being between, here and there. So being in the middle. In the middle of what? And Dasein and Heidegger doesn't answer. The middle is the first position, and in the middle of what is the secondary. So in some aspect, that being here creates, human being here creates, or being there, or being T/here, creates a kind of phenomenological reality we know as a world. So without being T/here, no world. The world is not given to us. It is created by us, but not by us individually, neither by us collectively, because Dasein is neither individual nor collective. So Dasein is common to human, to thinking. This is a thinking presence. Thinking presence you could interpret as individual, because we are thinking beings, but as well the other thinking beings, they share the same Dasein. So Dasein is neither collective nor individual. And that is very important, because Dasein of being T/here is something that we should abstain to qualify, to qualify as individual or collective. And if we consider correctly Aristotle, Greek philosopher, we have more or less the same idea, because the reading of the Greek thought, putting in the center individual, is a kind of anachronistic attitude. So individualism was introduced later in the Middle Ages, and the nominalist tradition, and the quarrel of universals, when the three scholastic schools announced three opinion about the ontology or reality of the name or this of the spirit or universal, called universal. So nominalists affirmed that only individual thing exists. So there and all the rest are just tools of classification or just the names and not some ontological aspect. So that was the wrap. That was the cutting ties with the really classical tradition in philosophy. And individual was discovered much later than Greeks. So Greeks knew human. They considered human to be something like Dasein or like intentionality of Husserl, or a kind of circle of consciousness. But individual was introduced much later in the Anglo-Saxon world, mostly in Franciscan monks' order. And after that, there began the new reading of what the human being is, because before we could not speak about individuality. There was some tendency of some scholars, some sophists, they as well as Protagore, they as well, they prefigured individualism. But to the main Greek thought, to Plato and to Aristotle and everything, or Stoa, everything around them or influenced by them, Pythagorean tradition, almost empedocle, all except these sophists and atomists, they, most of Greek philosophy was based on this holistic understanding of human thinking presence, so much more, much closer to phenomenology. So if we continue, so we could say, according to Heidegger, Dasein is primordial. So first of all, Dasein, being the slash here, thinking presence, and thinking presence in the world, because being creates the world. So the world is not given, is not created, is not established. We are establishing thinking, being, here, between, we are creating the world. But creating the world or manifesting the world, it is not individual, neither collective. It is human. So human is put in the center of the circle of consciousness. And discovering himself in the middle of in the middle of nothing, in some sense, the man tries to give the form to this presence. That is the logos. So the logos is the next stage, that is superstructure of the existence. So there is thinking existence, and thinking existence is not yet logos. It is the process of consciousness, process of the thought, but without logos. The logos is the result. So how this thinking presence understand itself and the world created by itself, that is the kind of logos and or metaphysics. And Heidegger affirmed that the history of philosophy was misunderstanding by thinking presence of the real logos. So that was the kind of false logos. So without exploring correctly the structure of existence, without evaluate the the special situation of being presence, of being, of thinking presence. So without that, European part of humanity has created a kind of super metaphysical superstructure that started from the beginning of the Western philosophy, started to undermine or undermine the reality. So that was a kind of illusion, a kind of virtuality, metaphysical virtuality, killing the torturing the presence. So that that was a kind of fight between the logos and Dasein. That was wrong logos, and this wrong logos was based on the oblivion of the being, according to Heidegger, because the thinking presence should first of all solve the problem of the being, not of the existence, but of the being. Existence is given, and being is not. So being we need to as a truth, being we need to search. And that is more or less Heideggerian version. And according to him, the wrong direction of the Western philosophy has led to total oblivion of being, and that is the end. That is the end of the history, that is nihilism, as Nietzsche, the death of God, the death of man, the death of truth, and we are living at the ending end. And it is just the common name for our time, but we are present in the last moment of this ending that isn't yet ended, not yet. That very noch nicht and Heideggerian language. So we are very close to the midnight of a total oblivion of being, and the virtuality, liberalism, modernity, Western culture. Heidegger didn't know obviously this catastrophic aspect of aspects of the rule of the worst, as you have now in the West or elsewhere as well, but he foresaw that, and now we are precisely in that last moment of the history as the process of oblivion and abandoning of the being. A new beginning, according to Heidegger, should start with total reversal of the situation, and in the extremely dangerous position, Dasein, on the edge of its disappearance, final. So, and that is passage to artificial intelligence or cyber. So we are living in front of the on the limit between human and post-human. Heidegger as well thought that that will come as technique, as and facilite technique, as unchained technique, and in the last moment, Dasein will revolt. So, and that will be new beginning, because Dasein totally abandoned on the limit of the border of non-existence that we are now exactly in that position. In that moment, there will be a huge revolt of Dasein and new beginning of correct search of the right logos that wouldn't be opposed to existence, the logos that would grow, securing the structures, existential structures of Dasein, of being, thinking, being in the world. So that is more or less about Heidegger and how to combine that with Marxism. I think that's through Hegel, because Heidegger was a very profound reader of Hegel. He didn't like too much Marx, but Hegel was for him the main authority in the philosophy. He didn't agree with the conceptual attitude of Hegel, but he accepted the dialectic of Hegel. And in that sense, the end of the history could be interpreted precisely as new beginning. The end of the history or by Hegel, dialectically, could be reinterpreted as the return to the being of Heidegger, or new beginning and of his philosophy. So we could combine these things, but I didn't mention what I mean by logoses, because I have introduced some diversity in the Heideggerian idea of logos, because I have suggested that there is not only one Dasein being T/her, but there are multiple designs. So I have spoken with von Hermann professor, the last disciple of Heidegger, and his her at the chair of the phenomenology in Freiburg University. And we had with him great conversation, and he has said Heidegger would protest about multiplicity of designs. He, because being Western, being ethnocentric, he thought there is only Western design. Everything outside of it could really have ontological meaning. I have introduced idea of multiplicity of designs that corresponds to kind of existential horizons of different civilizations. And I have introduced the concept of three logoses, the logos of Apollo, logos of Dionysus, that coincide with Nietzsche. But I have added the logos of Sibylle, the materialistic logos of idea that's of materialism, that everything is growing from the bottom, not as and logos of Apollo from above or in the middle, logos of Dionysus. So, and with this instrument, with this tool of multiplicity of designs and or existential horizons coinciding with the civilizations, historical civilization, and multiplicity of vertical multiplicity of three logoses, I have elaborated the kind of tool, conceptual tool, to study different civilizations, because different civilizations are a combination of all three logoses, or fight between them, and some moments one logos prevails and some other time the other, but they are always here, and they affect the history. The history is the history of the spirit of logos. So, in that sense, more or less, it's my attitude.
I'm so sorry.
We'll close out.
Okay.
Professor Dugan, thank you so much for speaking with us today. We have more to discuss. I'm sure another time we'll meet again, and we'll see what comes of this crazy world we're living in. But thank you for everything, and it's been a beautiful conference here, and we all appreciated your speeches, quite a bit. And I hope to see this Congress continue to expand.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Welcome.